This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas. We are live on FUBAR Radio and I am Bobby Norris. And we are joined by a little guest co-host this week. How are you, my love?
I'm good, thank you.
So you've come out the showbiz chair.
I know.
Are you excited?
I feel like I'm in, like, you know, like the Game of Thrones chair.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel like I have all the power.
Yes.
I'm like, sorry, Ellen. That's what happens when you fuck off to Dubai. I'll come and take over.
Emily is jumping from showbiz to co-host. I'm here for it. Now, the chair is not empty when it comes to showbiz because, well, we couldn't start Access without spilling a little bit of tea, could we, Ems? So we've got the legend, we've got Miss Lottie back in the house.
Woohoo! Hi, I love that intro. What an intro! Yes!
How are you, Mark? Firstly, congratulations, you've done marathon Sunday.
I did, and guys, let me tell you, my legs are in agony. Like, if you're walking behind me going up the stairs, it's not a nice sight. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but I bet your legs look so muscly.
Well, I mean, hopefully I gained something from it because it was so bloody hard. It was so hard. So congrats to anyone that did it. It was really tough.
It looked like a really good atmosphere,
yeah,
though.
I mean, from
the comfort of my sofa.
Yeah. Bobby, do you think you'd ever run it? Because I could see you doing it.
I would absolutely love to do it. Yeah, so I was meant to do last year, but I got run over, didn't I? Bringing down the mood a little bit.
That's a good reason to not do it.
Yeah,
we'll let you
totally.
But once the because I'm still having physio, but I would love to do it. Because it's obviously, I'm not preaching to the converted. You've done it. It's certainly not one for the light-hearted. But you need your body to be in good nick to start with.
You do. And I actually didn't train. Like, I know that sounds really bad, but I've always run. But I didn't train like I should have trained.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit cocky doing it, thinking, oh, I'll be fine. And then, like, honestly, you know, they say you hit a marathon wall. Bloody hell. Like, you hit a marathon wall. It was like 20 miles in. And I was just like, why am I doing this? It's like self-flagellation. I don't need to do this.
I love that you got 20 miles before hitting a wall.
No, but you hit this wall of, like, mentally. You're like, I was walking. I wasn't running the whole way.
Yeah.
I, like, you know, did a bit of both. Because you want to, like, appreciate it as well.
Of course.
But I just thought, why am I doing it? You know, when you get in your head like that, it's so hard to come back out of
it.
But got there in the end. Got overtaken by a rhino. But, you know, we're all good.
We move. So, marathon aside, yes. Miss Lottie, what has caught your eye in old showbiz town?
Well, there's been so much going on, but we have to start with this. The Spice Girls are finally set to reunite. News, big news today. Love that. So, they're finally set to reunite to mark their 30-year anniversary. So, Jerry Horner, obviously one of the Spice Girls, and Bangaroo Simon Fuller are back in touch. And this is a really good sign because there are rumours that they're meeting up in Miami later this week and they're going to thrash out a deal. So hopefully we're going to have them back together, but there's one who might not be joining.
Yeah. I wonder who could be.
Any guesses?
She's not
Could it be Vicky B?
Maybe, yes. Yeah, so apparently she's 90% out of the running.
She's not going to do it. She'd be so good if she did, but she's like, she just won't.
I love the optimism that we're only saying 90%.
Yeah, I know. It's 100%, but let's
don't
just
get me wrong, I'm a Spice Boy. Yeah. I would love nothing than Victoria to do it. And I'm sure I've said 101 times, both on this show or anywhere that people fucking listen to me. I would happily have Victoria on a stage. Don't even turn her mic on. Don't give her a mic. I don't care.
Yeah.
Just be there.
Put
You're Victoria
there.
Fucking Beckham.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I don't care. Just be there.
Well, you say that, but apparently, so sources have said that she's pretty much ruled herself out, but there's still a world in which she could do some sort of avatar appearance, apparently, or be there for like a one-off. But I'm like, why not just, if you're going to do an avatar appearance, why not just come and do it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, because they have to get, like, they can't do it without her permission, surely.
Talking of avatars, and I wonder why this hasn't happened, because again, she could kind of, again, you're Victoria Beckham, do you know what I mean? She doesn't need the money, let's have it right. But I think 30 years, it's iconic, it's what made her. And I know that she's never been cut, because there's been a tour since. When was it? Was it 2019?
So in 2019, they did a tour. They made $4.4 million each on that tour.
Fucking had worse
years. So not a lot, you know?
That's handbag money for Victoria. But why can't they do what Abadu, like, not for this one, let's have a live one, can't we have all of them as holograms?
Oh, wow, that would be such a good idea.
Where's my fucking agent? I want 20% of this. Let's have it as a hologram, because Victoria, you could do exactly what you want. You can have final edit on it, get your angles, pick your outfits.
And they could pick a year.
Yeah,
like, because could. Obviously, have you guys been to Abba Voyage?
No, I really want to go.
Never.
It's amazing.
Is it?
Yeah, and it's obviously, they don't look necessarily how they look now.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's like almost like in between now and what they were like when they were younger.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you think it's the future? Do you think we're going to see more of that?
100%.
Because I'm surprised they've not 100%. Done another one. Like, we've just had Abba.
But, I know.
You know.
Well, it's almost like the Gorillaz, isn't it? The
Gorillaz.
Yeah, they have, like, true. Wasn't there, I'm sure I saw it on This Morning or a TV show a few years back, but I think they did one of Whitney Houston, and then I remember always a standout episode of, I mean, not everyone's jam, but Keeping Up with the Kardashians, where Kanye did
that.
It for
oh, yeah,
the dad.
Him.
Yeah, with her dad.
Yeah,
I think for her 40th.
Yeah. That's
to
really
me
strange.
Personally, especially in that, fortunately I've not been in that situation, couldn't bear to think about it. I don't know if it'd freak me out a little bit.
I think it would freak me out.
I think it'd
freak me out.
But
yeah.
Give me fucking Victoria Beckham as a hologram.
Yeah, 100%.
A bottle of fucking piss warm Sauvignon Blanc at the hotel.
Yeah.
And an hologram. I don't know about personal family members, but Vicky being a pair of labooties, yes, please.
Well, fingers crossed. I mean, you know, never say never. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's move on.
So, have you guys been watching Celeb Big Brother? Because I feel like a lot of people have. Obviously, it's ended now, sadly. Mm-hmm. But what everyone seems to be missing is our Chris Hughes and JoJo Siwa on screen, because people are obsessed with them. Like, I've never seen a duo capture so much attention. Like, everyone wants to know what's going on between them.
Yeah.
There have been a lot of, like, signs since they've come off the show that there's something romantic. Obviously, the weekend just gone, JoJo ended things and dumped her partner, Kath Ebbs.
It was at the after party.
Then Kath's obviously come out and they've done a video talking about all of this.
Yeah.
But I actually listened to a podcast today and JoJo has spoken out and said what Kath said isn't at all what happened. So
here's some tea, so
JoJo's saying that Kath got to the party, didn't want to go, it wasn't their scene, they ended up kind of thrashing things out in like this beach hut that they were in at the after party, and JoJo said, if you ask me now whether I want to break up, it's a yes. If you ask me tomorrow, it's a I don't know. Mm. So basically, JoJo was saying, I need some time to think about it. JoJo also said that Kath broke loads of boundaries while, you know, JoJo was in the Big Brother house. And we obviously think it's the other way around, that JoJo's the one, her and Chris, everyone's kind of raising eyebrows about. But what's going on between them, do you think, Chris and JoJo? Is it...
Impressed with the pronouns that you could you've absolutely mastered that. But I'm intrigued because obviously Ems and Lottie, you're both amazing journalists. What's your thoughts on this from a journalist's point of view in terms of their relationship? Because I was speaking to Elle last week on this show. And again, everyone's got their opinions. They're watching. Everyone takes to social media.
Yeah. Right?
It's reality shows. You do tend to go to socials, don't you? And I was saying, I wonder if it would be, because some people was going, oh, is it quite cute? And again, this is all alleged. We don't know. They're still saying it's a platonic friendship, yada, yada. but I was like, would it be the same situation if JoJo was in a relationship with a man and was seen to be allegedly cracking on with a geezer, or if Chris had a girlfriend?
Yes.
Is it just because it's a same-sex relationship or not a heterosexual relationship that people don't seem to think...
Yeah, I don't know. It's such a weird one. I think... For me, it's I find it all quite weird. Like, I have to call a spade
I don't
a spade.
Mind with it.
I think I don't know if it's because it maybe it being an age thing, but then it's also consensual. She's 21. Do you know what I mean? And he's 32. But I do worry that Chris. I'm going to throw some shade. Like, he did this with Kem, didn't he? They kind of latched on. They were going to be, like, the next big thing.
Yeah,
the,
that little song.
And Deck. And then I feel like the same thing, like, history's repeating itself a little bit. And there is that question, is he doing it all for fame, do you know? And you've been on reality TV. Like, do you think that he could be playing that kind of game?
I mean, I've never done Big Brother, but I've obviously done 14, 15 years in reality TV. It's impossible for me to personally say if Chris is playing the game. I do certainly think that people do play games in reality TV. Mm-hmm. And I think we're at a stage now where reality TV is kind of losing the real in reality.
Totally.
I do think people do go in with game plans. And I think, and I don't know if it was confirmed, I'm pretty sure ITV or it was. I know there's always like a rumour mill of who's mm-hmm. going in, mm-hmm. but this year I'm sure that it had gone out and been confirmed who was going in. Now I don't know how I feel about that because
yeah, it had.
It gives people's agents time to sit down their client and go right. This person's a good yeah, person to be a friend
totally,
with. This isn't.
Totally.
It gives people time to DM people. So while people actually step it, foot in this house before they've even unpacked their J Malone. And other brands are available, but we love the pomegranate. Are they already DMing people going, shall we? And I'm certainly not saying this about anyone that's in the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I do think it changes the dynamic, whereas back in the day where people just rocked up, you might have seen a leaked or a rumour,
yeah.
but nothing was confirmed.
Yeah, that with exactly. Love Island. Like when yeah. Love Island All Stars came around, we interviewed the contestants, whatever, after, and they said that they'd messaged people before because they knew they were going on to be like, oh, are you going on All Stars? Oh, yeah, me too.
Isn't
See,
it
I,
weird?
I'm not a fan of that. Because the old school, I think being an old school reality star,
you are
someone who loves reality TV. I kind of, it sounds ironic, but I loved when reality TV was real,
like spontaneous. You know,
yeah.
you didn't know who you were going to walk around the corner.
Yeah,
see.
It's like with Love Island, when Joey Essex was the first bombshell, no one knew.
Oh,
like,
and that was amazing,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, the way he got on, he had to like hide like balaclava.
Yeah,
he had to go like a weird little. Travel in like a really odd way, so nobody knew, and everyone was gagged when he walked
through.
Oh,
that was
like,
incredible! No one, they better do that again this year. We need someone that big
like,
this year again.
Yeah, no
like,
one had any idea,
no.
and it was like, yeah, like gasp. It was yeah. like being the fucking.
But JoJo said
again.
Today in an interview that she did know Chris was going in, so it's so funny you
yeah.
say that. Mm. She knew she'd kind of asked a friend, and one of her friends, like fiancés, watched him on Love Island or
yeah.
something. So she did know he was going in. So it's like you said, she could be. Doing any, I'm not saying she is, but she could have had all sorts of game plans.
Yeah, I do.
I don't know what she'd benefit from in that respect.
Chris Hughes. I do think when obviously I've never been on a Love Island or whatever or Big Brother, but I do think when you're in that environment, you just don't know how you're going to
yeah.
react. Like
yeah.
as much as you know yourself, I do think when you're trapped in the house with strangers, whether celebrities or not, I think weird relationships do get formed. And I think within the next month, they're not even going to be speaking to
That's
each other.
That's what I think, especially being long distance.
Yeah,
as well. It's going to be tough.
It's like, I think they'll be like, that was weird. What the fuck?
There have been people that have literally been dissecting this, like frame by frame.
Absolutely.
And people saying that, because obviously JoJo was doing social content on Kissy where she had turned left on her plane and had the wife. which is always people are going, they're Chris's sunglasses, that's his hoodie, that's his hat.
Bobby,
and
I was
he's
one
apparently
of those people, I'm afraid.
See, I like, but that's why you're an forum. Amazing journalist. There's people saying he's wearing her bracelet.
Yes.
Are these all signs of a platonic thing? There are people going, it was a bit touchy feely on the this morning sofa.
Yeah.
Was it yesterday?
Well,
before.
Yeah, I don't know though, but from personally, like having holiday romances, like when I was younger, you would maybe like wear their hoodie home.
Yeah, but romance,
like,
but this is
yeah.
meant to be a mate.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm saying I think it's more because
yeah.
you know they want that like familiarity of like
also,
I've got that person with me. You
I
know?
Just think if I was her girlfriend and I saw my partner
oh,
behave like that,
God,
yes. I'd be like, do you remember the episode of Big Brother when Lee Ryan was on there? They brought
with Casey Bachelor,
and they made
yes.
the mum come in. Is that
mugging you? It's mugging
like,
you off, darling.
Yeah, I'd be like, get me in that house. I'd be like, you. Touching,
yeah.
I swear to God.
Iconic. Oh, Big Brother's amazing. Should we move on to the
yeah,
next one?
Yeah, let's move on.
So this one's actually really shocked me. I don't know
oh.
if either of you are Beyonce fans.
A little bit.
No.
So,
oh,
no.
Shut up. Do you not
call
like a bit
spade
of fame?
Do you actually not? Are
I'm
you
not her,
her
biggest fan.
Really?
Though.
What's it called? The B-Zone? What are they, the fans called? The Beehive.
The B-Zone.
Why?
You're not in the B-Zone.
Ems, why do you hate Beyonce so
I
much?
Don't.
Yeah, come on.
Allegedly.
Come on.
I just think she's overrated.
Do you?
Oh.
I think I love her old stuff. I love Destiny's Child. Mm-hmm. Love
Iconic.
Love
yeah.
But I think her new stuff, not that great.
I also
I
agree.
Don't
yeah.
like the whole her Jay-Z, P. Diddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But I also do think she was very young when she met Jay-Z, and I do think...
Yeah.
I anyway.
Well,
yeah.
funnily enough, like, you know, you're saying you're not a massive fan. Loads and loads of... seats are they're not selling out, you know, at her concerts, and this is what everyone's talking about. She's obviously, you know, doing her her tour at the moment, and back in the day Beyonce would sell out stadiums, wouldn't
oh,
she
God, yeah.
like without
yeah.
a shadow of a
they
doubt
they are
like,
about a grand a ticket though,
but
no,
this
to
is
be
the
fair.
Problem I think, you know, you're looking at all these seats, and I think it's gone viral on TikTok that people are taking videos and there's like thousands of seats that just haven't been filled. I'd go, but I feel like it's
if we
just
could get
because
a couple of PR tickets.
Yeah,
we'll
that's
go.
Just like, by the way, by the way, if anyone's listening, we'll go.
But I do think it's because like the tickets are so expensive, and this keeps happening. You know, this keeps happening.
Yeah. If these were still the like the Ticketmaster £29 ticket days, it'd be a sellout.
Everyone would be there. But I
cost of living crisis. People ain't paying £400, £500, £600
I think it was, if I've got it right, it was $4,000 to $6,000 for a real resale ticket, which is absolutely insane.
I love Beyonce, but I'm going on holiday.
Yes,
sorry, babe.
Absolutely.
Like, that's crazy because I even, like, I saw Taylor Swift on the Eras tour and I think we spent like £140 for two tickets.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's good for two.
But that's how tickets should be. Yeah. I think when it starts getting to thousands, I also think. Think of your fans. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if there are people that
can
afford it, you don't want to feel like you've been fucking had over.
But she bought Blue Ivy on. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes.
And Blue Ivy's like 13 now, which is makes me feel so old. But she looks like Beyonce. There's this like iconic clip of her walking down.
Yeah.
I was like, that is a young Beyonce,
isn't
it?
She's tall as well.
So tall.
Yeah.
I was like, where did she get that from? Because I don't know if either of them, are they tall?
No, I don't think so.
No. She's just, catwalk model.
I definitely think she's going to step foot in the showbiz industry. I can't see her going to work in Savers or anything.
Sure? Never know.
I love Savers, by the way. But I can't see her being a body shop kind of girl, do you know what I mean? Fucking swinging that hair around.
I want to hear her singing voice.
Jane as good as me.
Does she not? Well, we'll have to put that to the test, Bobby.
We'll have to get her in. Producer, we'll get Beyonce on. We'll see if we can blag a couple of tickets. We'll get old Blue on as well. Lottie, thank you so much,
darling.
You
guys.
Come back soon. Congrats again for the marathon. You're a star. Right, guys, we're going to take a little break and then we are going to be joined by Sam Willett from Tempting Fortune. We'll see you into
FUBAR Radio. Access All Areas continues next. FUBAR Radio. That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
Let's go back to the beginning. A mortgage advisor. What does a mortgage advisor do?
So, the main purpose of a mortgage advisor is to help you to achieve the best possible mortgage solution on time and first time. Typically, in the modern day, it's somebody who's going to hold your hand through the full home buying process, liaising with solicitors, estate agents, helping with insurance, and being in your corner on your team to make sure you achieve that goal.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
One in five people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with, and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
What the Health with Georges Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Up now is Efren Mason-Clark, professional footballer. You got the chance to work under Frank Lampard. Just tell me a little bit about him.
The first day he came in, it was just like, the word isn't starstruck, but it's just like, this is a legend in not just English football, but football in the whole world. So at the start, it was more of like, wow. And then it's like, you just switch off from being a fan to, this is like the gaffer now.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Maura Higgins.
That's a Geordie Shaw thing.
Has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean,
I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some veneers because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
FUBAR Radio presents
Joining us now, we have Muhammad Ali, author who is currently writing a book about India under Narendra Modi. Mr. Ali, thank you so much for joining us. And so I wondered if you could give us perspective to our listeners, what life is like for an Indian Muslim right now. Are they at risk of violence at any point in their life?
So right now, Muslims have stopped. They're very cautious not to appear as Muslims in day-to-day lives. Like they've stopped wearing skull caps, they've stopped eating meat in public spaces. And what has happened is that every idea and everything associated with Muslims have been illegitimized and have been criminalized in India today.
Every Thursday, FUBAR Radio.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access All Areas.
Welcome back to Access All Areas. I'm Bobby Norris. A little change of plan. We've switched the guests round. We've got Georgie straight in the studio now. We have got a little bit, well, I was going to say a bit of an announcement. It's not an announcement, but you are the newest FUBAR presenter.
I am indeed, yes. Presenting What the Health.
Yes. How's it going?
Fantastic. I absolutely love it. It's definitely a bit of me, and it's an opportunity to kind of spread my knowledge and kind of help others with anything health and fitness related. So obviously the internet is full of so many conflicting pieces of information, and it's just a really good opportunity to kind of give pros, cons, you know, for, against, like positives, negatives on most things, and kind of help people kind of usher them in a better and more positive direction, because the internet's full of BS, right?
100%. Everyone's got an opinion on everything.
Exactly. And I like facts, personally. I like speaking facts and being honest about things, and there's a lot of wishy-washy stuff out there.
Well, it's lovely to have you part of the FUBAR family.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Yeah,
so from one show to the other, thank you for coming on to mine.
My pleasure.
Now, Access, you know what Access is all about. We like to spill tea. We're all things showbiz here.
Yes.
We talk all things to them.
He's like, why did I agree to go on?
Yes, as much as I'd love to talk about What the Health for the whole interview, I ain't gonna, because, guys, obviously, you're going to go and tune in anyway. We're FUBAR family. We're going to talk about, obviously, you're from reality TV originally, Maps.
Yes.
And it's been quite well documented that of late, was it towards the end of last year, the start of this year, you were seeing a certain Love Islander?
I was indeed, yeah.
What would you like to say, anyone that doesn't know, we're talking Ekin Su. What was the situation? How did you and Ekin come about?
So I actually went on a wedding podcast. It's called Wedding Mayhem. Big up the ladies there because they are absolutely fantastic. And we were actually talking before the show if I wanted to kiss anyone in the public eye.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, Ekin Su. So on the podcast, they asked me and I went, yeah, I'd like to call kiss Ekin Su. Give me a call. Next thing I know, 2 weeks later, she's DM'd me.
She's
your DM. Yeah, she just replied with great podcast winky face.
I bet you wish you said Kim Kardashian.
I mean, now I'm thinking, shit, I picked the wrong person, maybe.
So she slides in the DMs, yes, gives you a little winky emoji.
And just kind of from there, so that was like on the Thursday, and by the Saturday I'd met her.
Shut up.
Yeah, whoa, met her, went over
when
hers.
When was this, like around roughly?
April time, mid of April.
So when you get that DM, she gives you the little winky emoji, a little bit of knob prop.
A little bit of pee came out, actually, of sheer excitement.
A little bit of love
pee. And then I grew, and then I poked myself in the eye, and I went, that needs to go back in my pants.
So you reply, but you get a semi on, you've got knob prop. You then message back, what do you say to Miss Ekin Su when you get the wink emoji?
Does it get sexual
before your date?
No, it doesn't, but there was a lot of laughter. Like, I remember the first night, we were probably up until like 3-4 in the morning, just like sending each other voice notes, laughing our heads off. She had some sort of event in Ireland for Be Perfect. And yeah, it just worked, and it was so comfortable. And obviously, I just come out of my relationship a couple of months before, and I was kind of being a bit of a Casanova, playing the field, just kind of being free.
Shagging about.
A little bit, but not really. Kind of.
There's no shame in that. You as a single man can go sow them little sowing seeds.
Charlie Sheen is a fantastic... wrong person. So for me, I was like, yeah, met her, got on like a house on fire. Mm-hmm. Obviously, what happened that night happened. And it was just like... we were irreplaceable. We couldn't be separated. We were literally glued to each other. I think I saw her again 3 or 4 days later, and then again on that weekend, and then it ended up being like twice a week, thrice a week, to me spending multiple days at hers, a week at hers.
That's crazy. When you meet someone, you're just like, wow, this
and
is
you have
like...
that just click. Up all night. Yeah. So you say you was up till 3 o'clock in the morning, like... I'm going to word it delicately, which ain't really like me. You say you was keeping each other up laughing. Is that all, was all you doing was laughing, or was there a little bit more to it?
No, there actually wasn't at the time. But like when we met,
from Casanova to
but then from when we met, it was very much like. But like I can be very much both ends of the spectrum in sorts of like.
Bobby's like, tell me more.
In sort of gentleman and also.
You need someone to make you laugh.
Yeah.
I laugh when I'm into bed.
That's normally how I do it.
I was just going to say, that's
to pick you up,
throw
you against the hotel wall,
go to the gym, right?
Give you a good scene.
I go to the gym for two reasons. So I can pick up women and I can carry my best mate's coffin on my own. It's the only two reasons I do it.
Oh, my God. The juxtaposition of those two things is...
Exactly. Like I said, two ends of the spectrum.
So... from then, you had this connection instantly. You're on social media. I'm guessing it's moved to WhatsApp or SMS.
Yeah, it went to WhatsApp quite quickly and stuff. But like I said, we were just seeing each other a lot.
Yeah. Mm.
And then kind of what happened was she was going through a rebrand at the time. Her book was coming out.
Post-Big Brother then?
This was post-Big Brother.
Yeah,
so her book was coming out.
And
her book was Being Your Own Best Friend. But little did people know. And she wasn't allowed to be... she didn't want to be seen with me because she was rebranding as a strong,
not
powerful
a rebrand.
Individual. Right? Mm. And it's like...
that's always a problem. When there's a rebrand, it's always like...
mm. Yeah, she was trying to... whatever she was doing. Yeah. Like, you know, at the end of the day, she is who she is. And what we had was great.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was... the thing is, right? I'm going to hold myself fully accountable. I allowed her to behave how she behaved.
Mm.
And I will take full accountability to that. Because I didn't want to lose her. Because actually what I thought was really special and something quite nice. But I... enabled her to act how she did, stonewall me, X, Y, Z. I'm not going to go and throw any other big words out there, but I enabled that. If I didn't, things might have been very different.
So was you in a relationship? Had you put a label on it?
100%.
So you were boyfriend, girlfriend?
Yes. Like her
you're
last
saying
message,
you loved each other?
Yeah, from like early
you
months.
You said you loved each other?
Yeah, from early
That's
months.
That's intense.
And the biggest part was her last three messages to me were, I love you, I can't stop thinking about our future, and... I can't wait to see you soon. Something like that.
So that's the last, like,
they were like the last three messages from her before she had her phone taken away. Before she went into
And how long is this before stepping foot in the villa?
That was hours, a week before, because obviously she went into confinement, I think it is.
Oh, yeah,
because
they
do a week of
it. Yeah, they do,
So it was literally on, like, the 5th. I was with her up until... I saw her last on the 2nd.
Yeah.
She was messaging me all the flight, that when she landed...
Did you know she was going on Love Island?
Yeah, we spoke about it in October, and we were away, actually, in Suffolk. I think we were in Suffolk. We used to do Airbnbs all the time because we didn't really go out and date. We'd just go and do an Airbnb somewhere random.
Shagging a man around.
We just had like a really nice time, just each other.
Yeah.
And it was so nice.
Just food and sex.
It was literally food, sex, a little bit of wine, hot tubs. Like, you know.
And then start again.
Yeah, rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
So, we had the chat in October.
Is this when she gets a phone call from the agent going, you've been asked to do All Stars? Because once you've got a fella... what does she say? Does she come in and put her tits on the table and go, look, babe, I've been asked to do Love Island All Stars. Obviously, we're together. We love each other. Mm. I'm going in for the cold hard cash. Do you mind if I go in the villa? Talk to me about... so what was it all about? What was the conversation?
It was about reminding people of who she was pre-Big Brother.
Did she say that? Did she say she's going on?
That's what she told me. That's what she said to me.
So did she imply that she was going on and she wasn't going to get over anyone else?
The rule... sounds so stupid looking back.
No.
We agreed that kissing only. I was like, okay. I guess you got to kiss some dudes. And like, we spoke post-show, and I'm telling you now, this interview is not going to be long enough, but we spoke post-show. She took 8 days to message me.
Well, after getting out the villa.
Yeah, and she didn't even... She was like, I'm overwhelmed. Cool, how do you think I feel? I fucking started therapy because of you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And she went, oh, therapy's good for you. I was like, that's not the reason.
That's not why I'm doing it,
because it's good for you. I would have started it years ago if it was good for me. Mm. Started it because you fucked me up. Mm. Like, I spent weeks crying every night. Every night.
Because that's not easy for anyone to watch. And you can't hide from it. To be sat on the sofa or laying in bed watching...
Well, I wasn't watching.
Someone you love. Or, I wasn't. But, I mean, just even on social media. It's in the press.
Yeah, you can't escape it.
It's on socials. Whether you watch or not, news comes back to you.
Yes.
So to be seeing that, what are you thinking? Because you're seeing her crack on in your red. I'm guessing, are you thinking, well, this is a showmance because she's telling me that she's not going to catch feelings. It might just be a kiss.
That's exactly what I thought it was. And everyone was like, yeah, she's not into him. He's not into her. I mean, I've heard some pretty interesting stuff from fellow Love Islanders about, like, what she was saying to Curtis and stuff like that. And things that we don't see. I was in a room with her. In Suffolk, again, just down the road from the last place we'd been to, when the Love Island producers rang her and was like, don't worry, we're not going to screw you over. We're gonna build you back up. You know, you're our favourite. We love you. Like, and I'm there, like, and she was actually asking me to record it because she used to ask me, record these calls. And I was like, no, I don't want to record that. Like, I'm pretty sure you've got to get permission to record stuff. And I was like, I'm not having dirty hands for that. Because she was like, oh, you know, she was so worried. She was like, I'm going to get put in there and I'm going to get ruined. And I was like, no, they love you. Like, they will just edit you perfectly.
I mean, yeah, she came across really well.
And apparently she was a nightmare in there. Like, so entitled. And it sucks because I don't want to sit here and say all these things when I know what she's like in a one-to-one scenario. But everything I hear is just, like, bad.
So you mentioned that you've heard things from fellow Islanders about her and what was going on and Curtis and stuff. What's the dynamic? What was going on that we didn't see? What have you heard about them? Do you believe that's a genuine relationship?
I was going to say, do you think her...
I think he's very smart because he wants to be a businessman. Well, he's a businessman, right? He's successful. He's not stupid. So he probably sees the benefit with her. She's trying to replace the relationship she had from the previous Love Island with David with an E. Davide.
David with an E.
Well, I'm George with an S.
I was going to say, she's got a tie, but David with an
she
E.
She does, yes. International
Mediterranean. She loves an extra letter.
Yes.
She does.
So, yeah, I think that she was trying to replace that, but I think she learnt a lot from our relationship, but then she kind of got the limelight from Davide's relationship and the All-Stars relationship, and then she got the parts of me in Curtis. You get what I mean? That kind of kind, caring, considerate bloke that, you know, I used to bend over backwards for her.
I wonder what he's going to say then.
You used to bend.
I used to bend her over a lot. And backwards a lot.
So when you see her and Curtis, does it seem genuine to you? Or
I don't see anything. I blocked her. I muted any time at the start when I saw it. I was like, oh. Ignore, report.
Yeah, it's not
not interested. Yeah. Definitely not interested.
What's the situation then? So you said you had to wait 8 days to hear from her. Because obviously, I'm guessing you know when the finale comes to an end. You know when, even though you're not watching it. You know the show's then ended. Are you messaging her that night to go, babe, what's going on? Because I guess you're thinking she's coming back to Heathrow and we're going to crack on with our lives. Or had you started to think, shit, oh, I don't know if this showmance is just a showmance?
Well, when she said yes, she didn't factually say yes to being his girlfriend on TV, but her reaction showed that she'd said yes, right?
Yeah.
So I very much like messaged her. I was like, you've got a problem. You got two boyfriends. How are you going to fucking deal with that? And like I said, like she messaged me afterwards. We had a 3-hour phone call.
What day is this, sorry, post-video?
Eight days. I was in Thailand. She rang me at like 6:30 in the morning in Thailand.
Where did she say Curtis was at this point?
I was going to say, is Curtis
well, on the day before my birthday, she was out with him that night and they'd had an argument and she was messaging me whilst he was asleep in bed with her, being like, I need to see you, blah, blah, blah. Like, I've got the receipts on my phone.
Like, do you want to get your receipts out?
You want to? Oh, we'll dig it out afterwards. I can show you.
A little look. So she's had a ding-dong with Curtis.
I genuinely believe they're a thing. But
he's asleep in the bed. She's messaging you. Yes. What's the vibe you're getting from that? She's certainly got the arsehole with him. He's pissed her off for her to be...
he was showing traits that Davide had, which was drinking. She didn't like that because we'd never drank together.
Because apparently she's not a boozer, really.
She's not. She's not. I think the first night we met, we had a couple of drinks. And then I think in the whole time we were together, in like the 9-10 months, I think we had like maybe the most we drank was on her 30th, because I organized all of her 30th for her as well. But yeah, like we'd never drank. We never, ever, ever drank. But yeah, so he would have got pissed. They would have had an argument. I know what she's like when she thinks she's right. And she would have had the hump with him. He would have gone to bed. They wouldn't have spoken. And she would have rolled over. I know she doesn't sleep very well. And she messaged me. She was messaging me. Oh, no, it's not good. I need to speak to you. I need to see you. Can I see you soon? And it's just like...
And what are you writing back to her?
I was like, yeah, I can see you. Like, I'll come see you. She's like, you can't come to mine, blah, blah, blah. Then obviously she's woken up in the morning and she's like, oh, happy birthday.
How were you feeling when that was all going on? Were you thinking we might be able to rekindle it, or were you like, I just want to clear the air, or...
I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah, I was about to turn 32. I was in Thailand for work. I was having a great time. And she just has this incredible ability of shitting on my parade, and just I was trying to feel better, and I fucking lost so much weight as well. I looked gaunt in the face. I hardly ate.
There's the matter of the heart is it's because, and it's such a cliche, and people will go, oh, it's a tale as old as time, but it doesn't matter what your head's telling you. The heart wants what the heart wants. And even if you can logically say to yourself, look, this ain't a good situation, when you're in love with someone, and especially in that situation where you're expecting your girl to come back to you. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
you think she's doing this job, whether it's for money or brand changing and kind of recreating her image and stuff. You inevitably think once that show's done and dusted, she's coming home and you're going to crack on with your life, because things was good pre-Villa.
We were going to split up on the second when I was leaving hers. I was like, right, I guess this is us. And she was like, I was like, are you sure you want to do this? And she was like, no, I don't. I was like, okay, well, let's just stay together then. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's just stay together. And I said, we'll pick up the pieces when you're back.
Is that how you ended
it? Yeah, that's how we ended it. So we didn't end. We were like, we're going to stay together. She was like, oh, I might not even last that long. And I was like, well, you will. You're going to go top four. I told her, you're going to go top four. You'll end up finding someone at the start. And the second I saw Curtis announce, I knew she would go with him.
Yeah.
I knew it. I knew she wouldn't go with any of the others. And I feel that the producers wanted him to pick her, because she kept saying the whole time, like, if you stick with me, you get to the final. You stick with me, you get to the final, blah, 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 you know.
So it kind just of like big main character energy.
I was going
to
say, yeah, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you sit with them?
What's the situation since? So this happens when you're in Thailand. You have this conversation throughout the night when she's pissed off
brief.
With him.
He's
the same.
It was brief.
Few messages and stuff.
Few messages.
What's the latest since? Have you ever spoke since? You got that happy birthday message the next morning.
Yeah, we spoke. I think we've exchanged like one or two messages.
And what did they say?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
But they were romantic.
They weren't much. Like, you know, we spoke. No, I spoke to her best mate after the article came out for about an hour and a half. And that was it, really. Haven't spoken to her. Apparently, her psychic lady said that she shouldn't reach out to me until some sort of moon position or...
That's exactly what I'd be like.
Yeah, fair play.
She's also a Leo, and I'm a Leo. Yeah. So I'd be like, no, my star sign's out telling me no.
And it was like, don't reach out to him until the moon, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, why are you telling me this? Like, it's done.
Yeah.
I would not be speaking my truth if I thought it was sound.
Is that how you feel about it now, then? That
oh, my God.
It?
Like, why should I sat there? And everyone was like, oh, why are you saying it now? Because I loved the girl, and I didn't want to let go of it. Yeah. And my biggest thing was, why should I keep protecting someone who can't even apologize or take accountability?
She's not said sorry.
She's not said sorry. I even said to her on the phone, I was like, are you not going to apologize? You had sex with another man whilst I was at home, and you're not even going to apologize. I was like, what you could have done is you could have known you were getting your phone after the final, you know, not had sex with him, done whatever, not had sex with him. Text me the next day saying, we need to talk. This is over for now. Let's have a chat. Yeah. And then have sex with him. Great.
Yeah.
But you're now marked as a cheat. And she's like, I wouldn't cheat. I remember her saying something on the phone, on the show. I saw a snippet. It was like, Curtis was like, I wouldn't be with someone who looks at my phone. She used to look at my work phone.
Is she a deeply insecure girl, in your opinion?
God,
I mean, to
yes.
be looking at someone's meshes, it kind of screams insecurity. I mean, does it? Especially a work phone.
Yeah, she looked at both my phones.
Have
I had
you,
nothing to show.
Since it's kind of become common knowledge that you guys were a couple when she went into the villa, you're telling each other you love it. So it's not like, excuse me, you weren't just shagging each other.
No.
You was in a relationship,
well,
do you know what I mean?
I shagged her the first time I met her in April.
Yeah,
and like, then we weren't just shagging for 10 months.
But it developed to like a relationship. You love each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, well, April to the start of January. What's that?
Sometimes the time doesn't even matter. Like, you meet someone and it can be like a month.
We said like after 2 months or 6 weeks or whatever, we loved each other.
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah, like it was a really intense relationship, and it's so different to my last one where I never saw my ex. Saw her once every 2 weeks. This girl I saw 2-3 times a week, maybe even a whole week.
Yeah.
What's the situation? I'm so sorry, I've literally got to wrap this up, so probably just my last question, I'm afraid, mate. Since it's become common knowledge about the relationship you and Ekin had, have you heard from Curtis? Has he picked up the phone to you and even messaged you, rung you, in touch?
No.
Not a thing.
But he can send me a message. So, Curtis, if you see or hear this, you can send me a text. Let's go for a coffee. Let's go for a pint. Let's go for a one-on-one tackling session in a 5-metre channel, because I know you're a bit of a rugby lad. And we'll have a chat. Because I will show you receipts and I'll be deadly honest, which is what I do best.
And before I go to a commercial break, is there anything else you'd like to say, mate, to get off your chest whilst we're live on air?
No, not really. I've got, nothing
covered
to get off my chest. Yeah, we're all good.
Perfect. Well, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Anything to say to Ekin Sue? If she's listening. Her and Curtis could be sat at home now listening to, it is Bobby Norton Access All Areas. It's very,
very
likely.
She will end up watching it. She will see it. She sees everything. I know that for a fact. All I will say is I just hope that she's learnt her lesson and she understands that you shouldn't play with people's emotions and you should just be a little bit more genuine and stop playing the actress.
On that note, thank you for coming in, mate.
Thank
Always
you.
A pleasure. Congratulations on the show, as I
thank
say.
You.
Lovely to have you part of the Fubar family. Guys, we are going to take a little break and then we're going to be talking all things Tempting Fortune with Sam Willett. We'll see you in 2.
Fubar Radio.
Access All Areas continues next. Fubar Radio.
Death, a funny business on Fubar Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
The lovely Matt Phipps.
Hello. The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being like making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so
Amen.
Good. So good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
My friend the other day, she was like, "How tall is your mum?" And I was like, "Oh, she's 6 feet under." Yeah, they did not know what to do with that. Yeah. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
The Fubar Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds.
In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you, what an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you'd never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly, I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome back to Access All Areas. I'm Bobby Norris. We are live on FUBAR Radio and we are joined by Sam from Tempting Fortune. How are you, Sam?
Hey guys, how are you, my darling?
Really good, thank you, darling. How are you, my love?
I'm good, you know. I'm really, really good. Had a busy couple of weeks.
Good, good. So before
I'm sure we'll get into.
Absolutely. So before we commence with the interview, my love, anyone that's listening that might not have seen the show or caught up yet, give me a little brief, give the audience and the listeners a little bit of a 411 on what the show's about and also where they can catch it, because people after this interview are going to want to go and binge this.
Well, yeah, you can see it's, hello everybody, it's Channel 4 and you can stream it all at 8 episodes now. It's Tempting Fortune Season 2, and it's in the Malaysian jungle. So it's 12 contestants stripped of all their luxuries, dumped together in the middle of the Malaysian jungle, have to trek 7 or 8 hours a day. In the heat, you're exhausted. We get 1,200 calories of rice and beans. And then along the way, you'll get temptations put in front of you, but they all come at a hefty price. So the 12 contestants were all fighting for an equal share of £300,000 prize pot.
Fabulous.
And the name of the game is Can You Resist Temptation? So there'll be little temptations from cold drinks, snacks and things like that, to really luxurious ones like hotel, a night in a hotel or a spa. Or, you know, dying in a pub kind of thing.
I would fail at the cold drink. They'd would be you? Like, 1,200 calories in the Malaysian? No, I'd be like, get me a Coke and a tequila.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough, guys. But look, they've got to cast, you know, a fair share of people, impulsive people versus strong people.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it. It wouldn't be fun if there was 12 strong contestants and no one took anything.
Yeah.
But then it wouldn't also be equally as fun as if they cast 12 impulsive people and no one was strong. Where's the drama coming from?
Yeah. Very, very true.
If everyone's having a great time taking temptations, we're just going to be, you're all going to be watching 12 people in a Malaysian jungle having the time of their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there's no show there, is there? If you haven't got the mix of characters,
so there's got to be tips or, you know, a few of each and cause drama.
How does it feel when you're a contestant on that show and people are being tempted, and you're seeing people that become friends, they're your team members, and you see people going, right, I'm going to have that meal, that cold drink, that spa treatment, whatever it may be. Does it piss you right off when you're being good, so to speak, and you're not being tempted, and then someone's throwing fucking egg fried rice down their neck?
Have you seen the show, Bobby? I spent 18 days angry.
Angry and hot.
I know, I'm setting the scene for our listeners that might not have. I know exactly what you was feeling. I could see it in your eyes, and I probably would have been exactly the same as you.
Yeah, if I don't say it, then my face says it for me, you know. So there's no denying how I'm feeling at all in them 18 days. Because I'm a strong person. I'm made of tough stuff. And for me, I went there for the money. and I was going to see it through. So right to the end with no temptations. That was my game anyway. But, you know, I didn't expect everyone to go in there and have that same mindset. Of course I didn't. But I didn't think people would be as selfish as they were.
Is it what... Yeah. Is it what you thought it was going to be like? Like when you went on the show, is it exactly what you thought you were going to be like, or was it just a complete surprise?
It was a complete surprise.
What was the biggest surprise? Like, what were you like, oh my God, this is not what I expected?
What was my... Again, you know, obviously I knew it was going to be the jungle and the treks. I knew all that. I was fully aware of what was going to happen. And I'm, you know, I'm not a silly person, so I investigate everything before I do it. So I kind of looked at, I even learned the local language in case we ran into any locals. I don't know what I was thinking, but I did all of that prep, you know. But I did not anticipate the other contestants. That's where I failed.
What's relationships like now between you and people that was on the show? Is there a big friendly community from Series 2?
Well, I'm sure there is with the other 11. You know, there's a WhatsApp group, Bobby. I didn't even get an invite to that WhatsApp group. Not, you know, I wouldn't have joined it anyway. I'd rather tattoo my eyeballs than be on that WhatsApp group. But an invite would have been nice.
Yeah. Because I guess whatever's happened on the island or when you're on a show like that, regardless, to leave one person out feels fucking shady, do you know what I mean? Because when it's all said and done, you're all home, everyone's gone back to life now, do you know what I mean? Emotions are, like they're lowered, everyone's back in normal world. So the fact that you're the only one that weren't invited into the WhatsApp group, you say you wouldn't want to be in there. Was part of you a bit pissed off when you... How did you find out there was a WhatsApp group that you weren't invited to, by the way?
Because I do speak to, you know, a few of the other contestants. We communicate on a regular basis. So I did make some friends in there. But I'm a really genuine person and... You know, I'm sure you can. I'm sure people can see who's genuine and who's not. So I'll let you decide on that. And then, I wasn't pissed off over the WhatsApp group. Definitely not. I'm probably pissed off with how people have come out the jungle and spoken about me. Because at the end of the day, it's a show. Mm. It's a reality show. You signed up for that, and coming out later on and being an absolute nightmare and going to the press and saying stuff that isn't true, that pissed me off. Because there's lots of things I could say, but, you know, I haven't.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing that I was annoyed at.
Yeah, fair enough. So you walked away with £18,835. What did you spend it on? Have you spent it?
That's all gone to the debt I was left in from my restaurant.
Was that your biggest incentive into going into the show? Did you kind of think, right, you'd accumulated debts from your restaurant, your prior business before the show. Did you think, whatever I make from this is clearing them debts, I'm going to honour them debts?
Oh, of course. That was the only reason why I wanted the money.
Love that.
So, you know, I'm a genuine person. Like, my veg man, I only owed my veg man like £185, and that was from my last order that he delivered. And my veg man's been my veg man for years, and I've been in hospitality for 25 years, and he's been with me for a lot of them years, always delivered to my hotels and restaurants. And it was only £185, and he said to me, just don't even worry what you want about, but no. That's money that's come out of your pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was so good for him to come to, you know, my current hotel and give him his money. And he, you know, just give me the biggest hug. And it was just so lovely. But it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
And yeah, it's nice to know that you can do it as well. Like, you're in that situation where you're like, I am able to actually pay you back now.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Would you do any more TV shows, reality TV in particular? Have you got a little bit of a bug? Now you've done the jungle, Tempting Fortune jungle. Would you do anything else?
I'm definitely going to do something else.
Ooh.
What's your one?
There's things in the pipeline.
Exciting. Anything you can divulge on Access All Areas?
You know full well I can't.
Well, so that's probably going to be the hardest thing you do as well.
Say that again, sorry.
That's probably going to be the hardest one that you do.
What is going to be the hardest one?
As in being in the jungle. That's probably going to be the hardest out of all the others you do.
No.
No, it depends what show it is, doesn't it?
Oh.
I think every show, it's all in its own right, is difficult, but will be different difficulties and different struggles, whether it's physical, mental. Saying that, I'm intrigued, and I probably half know the answer, even though I've not done Tempting Fortune. I would say, by the physical element of trekking, which is obviously fucking physical, I would assume there's a huge part of that that's mental, in terms of like the mentality to get through it. Forget the physical. If upstairs ain't willing, you could be the fittest person in the world.
It's all for me. It's like the SAS, isn't it?
It's all
about your mind. As soon as your mind gives up, your body's going home. That's it.
Completely. Sam, I'm so sorry. The nature of live radio, we're coming to an end. Thank you so much for joining me. Oh, God, we're going to put your little socials up. We'll put this out on the socials. Congratulations. Well done on the just under 19 grand. And I look forward to seeing what show you do next. You're so welcome. Thank you for being my guest co-host,
Thanks
Emily.
For having me.
You're welcome. See you next week, guys. Bye.
Foo Bar Radio.